Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Brooke, you doing okay in the closet there?
Yeah, I'm great. Not because I have a man living with me as of a week ago. So I'm like, what are these shirts? They're so bulky and there's so much plaid. Yeah, it does look a little more full than it did last week, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
you're definitely like really hidden amongst the threads in that closet now, which is great for sound. It's wonderful for sound.
Oh yeah, it's good. I've been up so early this morning. I used my restaurant worker W-2 and pay stub to qualify for a vaccine.
Amazing.
So that's pretty exciting. And now news has come out in Los Angeles about all these Hollywood cheaters who were all passing around a link, and this clinic just full on canceled 5 days of vaccines because 900 of the 1500 slots that were meant for senior citizens were all gobbled up by like Hollywood people and like media workers. It's crazy. And I'm like,
isn't it hilarious? You totally sound like you're like reporting on Fox News right now with
live from inside inside my panic room, my COVID panic room. This is Brooke Van Poplin. Well, you guys, we hear so many extra hosty, delicious laughs in the room right now. So let's get the show started, shall we?
Wait. I don't know if we're ready to just skip over the mid-pandemic move-in that you just pulled there.
Let us just introduce ourselves and we can hop right back into it. So yes, hi guys, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host Brooke Van Poplin. And joining us today are the hosts of their own podcast and newest members of the One Star Podcast Network. Please welcome Marlon Joseph. And is it Danny Davila or Davia?
Davila.
Davila. Davila. Option 3. Okay.
I didn't even know that.
He's like the Johnson and Johnson.
But I pronounce it Davila. So it's fine if you say it that way.
Really? Okay.
Because if I was in Puerto Rico, they would say Davila. But here in America, we just say Davila.
Okay.
Here in America, right. That's called flexing because every freaking episode, I'm saying Danny Davila.
And that's how I've been saying my name my whole life. So it's okay you say it, right?
But I'm saying Davila.
Oh, okay.
So they're Cali, you know, they're Cali, and I don't want them, you know, there's a big Latino community over there, and they might call me out. So I had to say it the right way for them.
Erroneous.
Got it. Not going to get called out by me. I was like, so do you prefer Davila?
Definitely Davila. Yeah.
Right on. Davila. Cool. Davila. Just learned something new. Well, guys, welcome to the show. We've been wanting to have you on since we all became acquainted a few months ago. So it's great to have you here. Marlon's giving me shit about my pandemic reporting live from my lockdown closet.
Skipping details over here.
I know.
Live from the lockdown closet. Hollywood elites are being turds. Like, that's basically what's happening. And I don't think it's elite. Look, I think that I think people think that they can get it. You know, I definitely think there are people who are just like, people will like punch a nurse and like take her clothes. And like, I was joking that like people like might actually be showing up in like a Burger King uniform and being like, yes, I work at Burger King. Give me shot. Like, that could be happening. But I think like I don't know. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, as we all know, and people just think they can get it and then they can't. I'm not defending anybody in Hollywood right. by any means, but
I think the good news regardless though is I feel like they're going to be released and unleashed on the public fairly soon, just with all the extra. I don't know. I know you guys are, you know, in Florida and different times, different attitudes all over the place. And as food service workers, I know this can be a personal and political question, but we hope you guys are staying safe, not feeling too scared with the cocoa running wild.
Cocoa running wild. I mean, we're not quite knock your grandmother over to get the vaccine yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I suspect maybe, you know, maybe I'll knock a kid out. Maybe not my grandmother.
There you go.
Right, right.
Kids can't even get the vaccine yet, but I'll punch one. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a good getaway with the kid. You could deny it. You give them the little hip check.
Yeah. So
you guys said that.
When kids run around the restaurant, I give them the little hip check. Yeah. Right into the boards.
Yep.
So you knock them off the dock.
No, I can't do that because I'm not the one to even go get them.
Oh my god. So. This kind of brings us, so are you currently working in a situation where you guys are like on a pier? Is it a waterfront type restaurant?
We both sort of work waterfront. I work waterfront because we're right on the intercoastal, it's called. And boats can dock to come to the restaurant and things like that. And there is a section called the dock. Which there are tables right on the dock, and if you're too hammered, you're going in. And Danny works where I used to work where Danny works, and there's a street that separates him from the ocean.
That's about it.
It's basically you know, sand, road, restaurant.
Yeah. Wow. I like that. And so, right. So you have to be like really, really drunk in Danny's restaurant situation where you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you keep falling over a road and then sand and then into the water. That is a level of classic stumble.
You'll get hit by a car before you get hit by a freak.
Got it.
Yeah. Got your fogger game has to be up to even get to the ocean.
But if you're on the dock, you can make one false move, and then it's just you and the manatees, right?
Absolutely. Like,
and there are manatees. Very good. It is manatee season. And I don't think falling into the dock is as much a hazard as ladies with the stiletto heels getting stuck on the dock. Because they're planks. So mid-plank, they're getting in there, and they lose a shoe all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, sometimes there's a little bit enough of a gap between those little boards that like a credit card could fall down there really easily.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I had friends who were like a wedding ring fell down and got loose in the dock like when they were on something like that. There's a lot of errors that can happen on a dock.
Have you guys on The Modern Waiter done an episode about waiting tables on a dock?
No, I assume that it's pretty niche, but I have not yet. And the dock is this no man's land where we stick all the new guys, right?
Oh,
it's the furthest away from everything, especially if you're working the dock on a brunch. Now, it's all two tops. And I'll tell you a little nightmare situation I had when I was the new guy in my place a couple of years ago. And I started January-ish, so I got all those holidays to the face. The Valentine's Day. I took the Mother's Day and the Easter, right?
Uh huh. Along with like Monday holidays, like the memorials, the labors, like
those I get to skip because I don't work Mondays.
That's amazing.
So I'm pretty fortunate with that.
Now, we usually record on Mondays.
Can't work recording.
I'm on the dock, new guy, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a Mother's Day. Guys, I got so screwed because I was at the end of the dock where the dock actually extends. There are not supposed to be any tables back there. It's just more dock and parking lot. The manager comes out with tables like at Goodfellas. start expanding my section. Now I'm already weeded and it's only two tops. Now he's giving me another six top, another eight top, a six top, and a four top on top of my already six table section.
Of two tops, which are needy.
This is a weight mirror to be like, I left to go grab something in the kitchen. I came back and then there was like five more empty tables in my section.
Yes.
Like, ready to be sat. That's a weight mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he rented chairs. He's inventing tables and sections, and it's just coming out of nowhere. And I have to wait on them all. And I remember saying to this one lady who wanted to modify like the Eggs Benedict, she wanted this way. And I said, listen, lady, I said, you'll be lucky to get anything at all from this kitchen. Just please, please, please tell me what you want. Do you make cappuccinos? I said, yes, tonight. At 9 o'clock, I'll make you a cappuccino. Just give me what you want, and I can maybe make that happen, but do it quickly. I was buried.
Dude, that is the dreaded word when someone's like, can I have a cappuccino? You're like, well, there goes this tip. Just weeded by cappuccinos. Yowzers. Man,
yowzers,
oh man.
Yowzers is right. I like the idea that you had someone that was like not a great customer, and you'd be like, would you just mind stepping onto this boat with me for a second so we have maritime law happening between the two of us? We'll sort it out on the seas.
Funny thing is our owner, to get things moving and get people out of their seats, he would bring his boat and have his captain run people around. So he's like, you want to go on the boat? You want to go on the boat? Of course people want to go on the boat. So pretty then smart. He'll get them up and put them on the boat and out they went, reset the table.
That's very smart. Wow. They never return to land.
No 3-hour tours at my tables. Thank you very much.
I just also like the idea of like to clear your section when you work on a dock. You're like, hey, Lenny, up in like the lighthouse. You're like, blast the foghorn.
Oh my God.
Should we do some quick top of show shit?
Yeah, absolutely, you guys. Let's get into it. So, you guys, in case you didn't know, because we just told you, we have a brand new podcast network that we have launched. The Modern Waiter is here with us today. One Star Network. Please head over to One Star Podcast Network.
Yes.
At Instagram to follow us. Rate, review our podcast. As always, you guys, we love hearing from you. Smash those 5 stars. What else is going on, Brooke?
Like we said, aside from the Modern Waiter joining us, we've got Copper and Heat. Check them out. We also have the Macaroni Zone. Finally, we got them up and running this week. They're super funny. So check them out as well, along with In Your Mouth Pod. And I am so proud to also mention that our buddy and former favorite guest of the podcast, you guys too have had Quaylen Harris on your show, got his own little podcast just all to himself, just ranting and raving on there. And it's called Confessions of a Server. So by all means, check it out. We're super excited, and what we're doing is as much word of mouth and telling you guys, our lovely listeners, that you're going to enjoy everyone else. We enjoy them. You're going to get a taste of Danny and Marlon today, which is going to send you over to their podcast. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, Andrew. When I listen to you guys, I'm like, you are our bizarro. You're bizarro us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You hit topics and have takes that I'm like, we didn't even think of that, but that is so something we would say. But you guys are just inhabiting a wonderful brain space that we clearly don't have. So
I listen to your podcast and I'm like, when I listen to The Modern Waiter, I get so geeked out about what you guys talk about. I'm like, God, I was a good server. Like, always, there's always room to learn. You always need to be ever evolving no matter what you do in life. But I was like, oh, I was so good at that. Like, you know, and have taken all of those skills and elevated them just in my life. So that's why I really like listening to The Modern Waiter.
I'm still learning. And then I'm learning today. I called Danny up, in prep for the show. I said, Danny, if I had to do what they do for a podcast, we would never have a show. This is a lot of work.
Oh, I'm so glad that we feel the same way about each other and that we're all under the umbrella of one network now.
Yes.
So a little something for everybody.
We are family.
Yeah. We can only sing that one line.
I want to say we had some follow-up real quickly. We like to acknowledge listener emails that send in after we've posted an episode. And this is from our All You Can Eat and Buffets episode with Ken Reed, which was a hoot and a holler. But we did get some feedback that I think is important to share. And I told her I would share it. So I'll read this right now. Hey, guys, I'm at work listening to the episode on buffets. And I just wanted to gently mention that the rhetoric might have benefited from some investigation into the role buffets play in impoverished communities and food deserts. I grew up in a small, poor town where going to a buffet was a special occasion, something you did on your birthday or for graduation, or just a cheaper way to feed a big family. It made us feel a little less dirt poor. Yes, they're trashy, and their guests are less than aristocratic. Absolutely nobody can deny that. But I think it's important to investigate both sides of the story. This episode focused on the Vegas Cruise faux opulence rendition of the buffet without offering insight to the roles they play in underprivileged communities. Anyways, just food for thought and an opportunity to inhabit a different, albeit still detrimental, perspective. Love the pod. Godspeed and good health. Andrea, totally fair. I wrote back and I was super defensive and I was like, you don't know what goes into our research. No, just kidding. I said that we definitely mentioned that it was a great option to feed a large family. I grew up on Ponderosas. The whole family loved a Ponderosa. Let us loose on that buffet. And, you know, overall, it's a great point, and I'm glad she made it because it's really intelligent and well-written. We were just coming at it from the perspective of how it's not a really feasible business model, and it's terrible for servers.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Yes, absolutely.
Didn't mean to make anyone feel left out.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's a lot of things that we don't mention on the podcast that obviously are true. But yeah, like you said, we're just always like leaning into the service perspective of everything.
Totally. But yeah. We appreciate it. You guys can always check in and share your thoughts. And we'll own ourselves on this podcast, okay? We'll just go ahead and own ourselves. But yeah, Andrea, go ahead and jump into some headlines for us to discuss.
Let's do it. Okay, you guys, first headline today. This is insane. Coming to you from Illinois, outside of Chicago, Frankfort, Illinois. Holy shit. Okay, basically, Parmesan's Woodstone Pizzeria, one of the owners of this establishment, Michael Papandrea, allegedly captured the images using cameras, get this, installed on his shoes to basically take thousands and thousands of pictures up the skirt of female employees over a span of 8 years, you guys.
What?
Yeah. So, 8 female plaintiffs, some of them minors, are suing the 59-year-old former supervisor, alleging he secretly took thousands of upskirt photos and videos while working with them in 3 suburban Chicago pizzerias. This is insane. The amount of psychopath behavior you have to have going on your head to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me some of them shoe cameras to be a total dirtbag. What the fuck?
I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
No, of course
it's zero
not.
We laugh.
It's zero funny. But what we can make fun of is the extreme inventiveness.
Yeah,
will go to when you're like, that's some ingenuity. That's some CIA level shit.
How does he even? How do you get away with a shoe camera overall? Anyways,
well,
they have
thing,
those stores now. They have like, you know, amateur sleuth stores, like next to Sharper Image or in Sharper Image. You can get your hands on stuff like this so easily.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that, but that's extra.
I'm interested in the evolution. Like he probably started with a bigger camera and said, no, this is not good enough. Okay.
He wear like clown shoes to work and he'd be like, what's going on?
Exactly.
I need a way to not have my cell phone sticking up the skirt right here. So
right. Like, did he drop his cell phone and it like accidentally like took a photo and then like a brilliant idea for him was born? Not only did he have the shoe camera he also secretly installed one in the employee restroom.
Of course.
I was in the toilet?
Yep.
Guys, this is sage advice. It's written on a plaque somewhere. Where there is a shoe camera, there surely is a toilet camera also.
You're right. There definitely is. They go hand in hand. They might be a BOGO. Buy yes. the toilet camera, get the shoe cam. At least half price. They're in the same package. You got to rip that package open on the toilet package? Shoe cam. Yep. Yeah.
So get this. So the computer forensics expert hired, like, found nearly 2,000 videos from the shoe recorder alone, another 14 from the camera placed on the restroom toilet or above the restroom toilet. And, like, they're saying there could be, like, 500 victims total over the period of, like, eight years of all the different people where his shoe was just to be able to see up skirts.
And the Academy Award for Cinematography goes to Parmesan.
Papandrea. I swear to God. There was an incident in Berwyn too. Like, the outer skirts of Chicago have some shady dealings, like, to begin with.
Don't you mean the upskirts of Chicago?
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, nice. Well played.
Thank you. The Cigars and Stripes, remember that? The weird comedy venue outside of Chicago where the owner had placed a double-sided mirror in the women's restroom so he could, like, go view women going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Cool. There was nothing shady about that place. A knife fight broke out while I was doing stand-up on a stripper stage. Totally normal stuff.
Yeah. So the hearing is set for April 22nd. So we'll see if we can update you guys on what happens to this guy and all the many charges he's going to be found guilty of. Honestly.
Yeah. My God. I'm just so, like, the ingenuity of people with addiction and perversion and disorders, where you're just like, damn, like, they're actually highly intelligent and they could be using their intelligence for good. And then at the end of the day, they have 2,000 blurry upskirt videos and that's their life's work. And now
they're supervillains. And the fact that you call them blurry is an assumption.
It could be
quality cam work.
It could be.
It's in full HD. What do you think?
Those shoe cameras pull focus really quickly, from what I've heard. Yeah.
I'm just also imagining when you realize you worked with this dude and hear this headline, that you're like, he always stood the strangest, like his posture had to have been so bizarre.
Like foot out?
Yes, always
cross foot out.
Like Charlie Chaplin, just like stick his big foot out and he's just like, meh, see?
It's just so.
What's this X on the floor?
I know, right?
Marks here?
Just stand right here.
Hit your marks, servers.
That is awful. Like, something has to break in your brain to just look people in the face and know what you're doing behind their back. And
yeah,
and surely he has a family. He has a mother, maybe sister, daughter.
He owns the restaurants with his wife.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's even worse. So were they watching it together?
Does not say that. I don't know if they were one of those couples, but she could have just been.
There's no way
time.
She couldn't have not known about something like that.
I agree. 8 years of it is a lot. Yeah.
Whatever. Like, may I also say that the ingenuity also takes itself to extreme levels of sneaky. Let's not turn
That's also true.
Life.
And who knows? I bet this guy fucking gaslights all the time. You know what I mean? I bet he just makes people feel like they're crazy.
Gross. Well, let's move on to something we can all join in on and agree that it's even more of a travesty. We just got a word on the street here in Texas. Some restaurants in the Austin, Santa Fe area, they are beginning to charge for chips and salsa because of rough years, slim margins. What are immediate reactions? I mean, it's an uproar. It's considered sacrilege in Texas, but I mean, if I do chip math real quick, like, I have made so much chip money. I've gotten so many free chips that I've probably got like $2,000 worth of free chips in my lifetime, you know?
I mean, it is a lot. I mean, it's like we have really entered a new phase of the restaurant world when, yes, chips and salsa are not free anymore, especially, like you said, in a state where, like, chips and salsa are
the standard.
You know, your right, or is it your right to get free chips and salsa?
You have a right to open carry and to eat baskets of chips and a delicious picante. I'm of the mind backing the restaurants right now that, like, when you think about it, it's like, it's wild how much free food you get when you go to, you know, a Mexican restaurant. Like, that is.
But is it free food, though? You're paying for it anyway. They're just, you know, it's like saying free bread. No, you're paying for the bread. It's just not itemized.
Like, why don't you just, like, up everything by 50 cents? Will that cover your expenses?
Absolutely.
instead of going like the
micromanaging your food costs.
Right.
Exactly.
And what's more forgiving at the end of the day,
just
right?
Just go the Southwest, like, route. You know what I mean? Just have the one price.
Yeah. Or just be like, you know, chips and salsa, it costs this much, but you get endless amounts of it. You know, maybe that would make up for it. I don't know.
Oh, $2.50 to have bottomless basket of chips or whatever.
Or $5, whatever. I don't know. I mean, you still have to pay for the queso. You can't get free queso. That's a fact.
Saturday salsa. We have a Saturday chips and salsa.
There's just so many memories of me being probably, I don't know. When it comes to free chips and salsa and you run out of your chips and salsa, even though you are like a great server and you have respect everybody and what they're doing, you turn into a fucking Karen, I think, a little bit when the chips and salsa are empty. You're like, when is the time more of this, please? Like, maybe. I mean, I'm very nice about it, but I want more, you know?
I mean, in fairness, that's why you go there for.
It's true.
You go there for that free chips and salsa, or that free bread. I worked at a Roadhouse Grill back in the day, and these house-made rolls, you could not even delay on getting that bread to the table. They're already asking you for more before they got the first stuff.
Oh yes. I worked in a Middle Eastern restaurant in the Detroit burbs. It was called La Shish. And they did the thing where they had the tiny individual pitas with a big open wood-burning style oven. And you would watch the baker just toss them in there like little frisbees. They puff up and they get the tiniest char. And then you get the big paddle and pour them into a basket. You think people aren't about to claw your fucking apron off for another friend? It was mania. And then we served it with garlic dip, which is outrageous. And you would have people come in and order one cup of soup and then just ask for multiple baskets of bread. And you were just like, how does this work out? Their check is $3 and they just left in a carb coma.
I mean, it's a controversial topic.
It's interesting. You know? It makes, you know, or like, I'm like, all right, $2.50. I get it. You know, are they good in-house chips? Is it a really good in-house salsa? And that $2.50 gives me a pass to walk up. Have you ever been to a Chevy's? This is a chain that's in Texas, but it's like an old muscle car with the hood popped open, or the trunk popped open in the back, and they fill it with chips, and it's a self-serve chip station. And you take your basket and then you go to the salsa bar. And I mean, that is like top tier, you know, when you're just like, I am king of this chips and salsa bar.
This is also coming from the perspective of Brooke Van Poplin, who, like, nothing makes her happier than good chips and salsa. Like,
that's what good to know.
It's personal.
I know what you're getting for Christmas or holiday. holiday, sorry.
Very, very true.
A car full of chips.
I'm like, anyone want this car? I'm here for the chips.
And you know that car is open right now because it's, I think today is when Texas has rolled back their, they're like, fuck it, no masks.
Yes.
No anything. Distance, what's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
that,
a lot.
That trunk is open right now. That hood. That trunk,
oh, there you go.
It's salsa they're, flowing.
They got chips and salsa in there for sure.
Oh, I love it.
Getting that for sure.
All right, guys. Well, I think it's time to jump into some server
submitted
stories.
All right. Hello again, Brooke and Andrea. I hope y'all are doing well. Before I begin, I want to say congratulations to y'all for the new network, and I'm going to tell everyone I know who has worked in the industry about y'all. Y'all have been a source of entertainment on Fridays, and I'm so glad to be able to expand it through the week with y'all many different podcasts, with many different pods. Well, this isn't really a story, but more of a catch-up, if you will. As you know, we have been in contact on Instagram. I am not sure which of you suggested the podcast for me to listen to while I'm laid up with COVID, but I thank you for that. I have taken it easy, gotten 100% better, and just wanted to share what actually happened. So now, 3 weeks ago, I caught COVID. I think it was a sinus infection. It didn't kick in until Thursday, and I felt terrible. I went to work that entire weekend at all three of my jobs, still feeling sick. I did still have taste and smell. So this is where I thought it was only sinuses. One of my jobs, I climbed 4 flights of stairs repeatedly for 2, almost 3 hours, and I didn't feel winded. Still feeling bad after the weekend, I went to go get tested by the behest of my boss at the day job. The test came back positive, and it threw me off because of hundreds of people I was in contact with due to the jobs. During my time down, all I could think about was feeling like I was patient zero in a zombie apocalypse. But thankfully, I did the minimum. I wore a mask the morning I felt sick. I wore a mask every day at all my jobs, and I washed and sanitized my hands often. And because of doing just the minimum, not one of my friends, coworkers, residents at the apartment complex I work at got affected. I told one of my coworkers that I would have died if I've got them sick. Thankfully, no one got sick. If people, especially customers, do the bare minimum of wearing a mask, staying 6 feet away, washing their hands, we can function as a well-oiled machine. If you feel sick, especially coming up on allergy season, get tested, no matter what. And in all, keep doing the minimum. You could literally save a business and a life or lives. Also, if you do live in the Georgia, Tennessee area, a great source of help is the Giving Kitchen. I made a call this week, and after filling out the application, they will help you out if you work in the service industry, if you miss due to being sick, injured, or have a death in the immediate family. It's a great source to have, and they are helping me out. After our conversation, a lot of my nerves relaxed. So a huge shout out to them. Thank you again for the podcast. Thank you again for the memories, the help, and I'm so happy for y'all. Godspeed, good tips, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet away, or stay home. Jared.
Wow.
That is a harrowing tale. So he's, you know, one of our podcast listeners and buddies, and he followed up, though, so he went back to work, and I don't have all the details. Even though no one got sick, they let him go. So,
really?
I know. I don't fucking
know. Wait, fired him?
Yeah, he just emailed back that he was let go, and he's like, well, I'm not bitter, I'm not angry. He's like, they had to do whatever they thought.
Is that legal? Wait, is that legal?
I don't know. It's
if
not
they legal. Let him into work, it shouldn't be legal. They should have said, you can't come back before then.
Exactly. So something
happened.
No, you
happened. Said he got fired.
That's what I mean.
I know. Hold on. Let me see. Let me read it.
But this is a stigma that is like going around that when people have COVID, they're like dirty. Like, it's not anybody's fucking fault other than like no one's being reckless. He did all the things he was supposed to do, and like he didn't fucking get it. Like, this is super illegal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because he didn't know he had it. He thought he had a sinus infection.
Hundreds of thousands of people asymptomatic walking around the fucking country, like the world right now, like not knowing they have it. Like, it is.
Right to work state.
So he's, you know, and I know he's listening.
But he still has rights in his right to work state.
Of course. But he listens to the pod. So if we can give him any, you know, feedback on this, he wrote, literally an hour ago, I was let go from that restaurant. LOL, I'm not mad, angry, or anything. They had to do what was best for them. Oh, well, on to the next. We say no.
No.
Yeah.
Why? Like, yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
so you have the right to look into that, Jarrett, for sure. Mm-hmm. This is a wild and unprecedented time. You did everything that has been asked in terms of protocol for COVID, and it's nobody's fault that they get this. It's a pandemic, and you had your downtime, and you tested negative, you know, which means you are free. You're actually a very safe person to have around. So, buddy, email us.
I wonder if they had problems or friction at the job before that.
Well, right, because they can cite, you know, some BS like that if there was anything documented. Mm-hmm. We found that that's what they will use as their grounds to legally let you go. But I don't know. The timing sounds a little suspicious.
I just got flashbacks of when the advice was to wear your mask. It sounded you know, wash your hands. I remember back in high school when they would talk about STDs. Mm-hmm. So, like, wear your mask is kind of like wear your condom.
Condom, yeah.
Yes,
you know, wash
right.
your hands is kind of like wash your stuff. And
wash your stuff.
Wash your stuff.
Wash your stuff.
Don't bring those crabs in here, no.
Unless, of course, it's all you can eat crab night.
Oh, oh boy.
Wow.
I see what a restaurant it. Real.
That's
for
strong.
Sure.
Anyway,
and you know, and we'll post this now. And like Brian, for the win over here, just saying, know your rights for coronavirus in the workplace. And I'm pretty sure like the Unemployment Opportunity Commission issued a guidance to employers considering COVID-19 vaccine programs for their employees. So the company itself should be putting out the guidelines. And there's most likely a federal mandate out that protects workers right now.
Yeah.
I'm quite certain, especially with a new fucking bill being passed, it's going to protect rights of servers even more and workers even more. This is a hot topic. We should move on, but like,
yes,
there's
I know.
A lot
I'm
to
like,
unpack
I,
there.
I'm riled up. I was like, let's see if I can meddle and make it even worse for Jarrett.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Let's definitely jump into the next story for sure. Marlon, when you're ready.
Marlon, will you do the honors?
Hey, wonderful people. My name is Madeline, and you can use my name on the pod. I got my first serving job when I was 19 years old after finishing my freshman year of college. I worked all through high school in retail, but wanted to dive into the service industry so I could make a bit more money before going back to school in the fall. Long story short, this was a brand new restaurant in an already established national franchise. We got 2 weeks paid training, free meals, and I never felt so confident to perform a job. I quickly learned I was a great server, for I was a pro at upcharges and schmoozing customers enough to always order dessert or take a bakery item to go. My manager had never managed a restaurant before, so it was a learning curve for everyone. He would hound us about getting proper non-slip shoes through our original training. I forked over money to get a pair after my first paycheck. Halfway through the summer, I was running dishes back to our sloppy dishwasher, was underaged when I slipped and landed flat on my back, chucking the dirty dishes onto the rack instead of saving myself. My manager had moved the floor mats to keep up with the young dishwasher, who was flooding water onto the drink area without letting servers know they had been moved or to be extra careful. Without the mat, my non-slip shoes were practically useless on the nearly flooded with standing water kitchen floor that had been waxed just the night before. My manager panicked, and rightfully so. My mom was a workers' comp legal assistant at the time, and he knew he was about to be a bit fucked, for lack of a better word. I hopped up after falling and immediately noticed my cell phone on the floor. It had been on my in my back pocket upon falling. I absolutely smashed the thing. So to add insult to injury, my only lifeline to my lawyer mother was obliterated while my entire backside was bloodied and bruised.
Oh.
Thankfully, I was much younger then. I am now and could easily brush myself off and limp out of my shift. My parents checked my injuries after coming home, determined I was going to live, and sent me back to work. Just rub some dirt on it, as my grandfather would say. The following day, my boss handed me cash out of the register to pay for my phone to be fixed and replaced with the promise I would not take the injury any further up the corporate ladder. Seeing as I was upright and only sore for the following days, I gladly accepted the cash and the offer. I definitely milked being in pain long enough to get me out of some side work for the following week. But I finished the summer with only a few lingering bruises and a brand new shiny cell phone.
Hey.
Love you all. Your podcast has become my newest obsession. I have binged a lot while at work at my current job, and I have tons of crazy stories from my now several years in the industry. If you ever want to hear a few more, as always, good health and fucking great tips. Madeline.
My. Yes, we always want to hear more stories. Please send them in.
And it's like, I'm sorry, your mom does what now? Oh, that's very interesting. How? Yeah. Just here's the code to the cash register. Feel free to just take what you need.
Do you think it was just a cell phone payoff? Because that just gets her back to neutral. That's not shut up money. That's like, yeah, you owe her the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to pay some hush money.
Yeah, there's got to be some hand to hand combat going on.
yeah. Like, so, like, she should be able to get, like, whatever she wants from the bakery case for as long as she wants, you know. Okay. Is this a cheesecake factory? It sounds like a cheesecake factory to me. I don't know if it is or not, but
it very much could have been. But yeah, I know. She sounded really young and innocent, so she wasn't hardened. She didn't know, you know, like, the industry hadn't broken her where she was like, we're going to strike a bargain sort of thing, where we're all just like, yeah, not good enough. I'm going to need to see some cold, hard cash, lots of it. Yeah. I want a Chevrolet that has a trunk filled with chips. I'm going to require.
I need you to drive it to my house.
And you won't be hearing any more about this. But you guys, first of all, thank you. We forced you to do homework, Danny and Marlon. We made you read on air.
Thank you.
And,
well, I actually did some homework for you. As I read this story, I was thinking, rub some dirt on it. Where does that come from?
Interesting.
Apparently, there's some history to rubbing some dirt on it. Not really dirt, but clay. Apparently, there's some mineral-rich clay that reduces inflammation.
Yeah, bentonite clay, actually, specifically.
Okay, there you go. Let me know, because I had no freaking idea that this was a thing.
Yeah, and there's different types of clay than their purest form. I'm also an esthetician, so I do skincare, so I know about clays. So
boom, rub some dirt on it.
Yes, they reduce inflammation. They are anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial sometimes, because the earth is good and gives back to us. So yeah, that's a great origin story. I'm glad you looked it up.
Of course he did. That's what he does.
We got a Mr. Know-it-all. I know. Nerd alert. Okay. Well, you guys, as always, you can send all your server submitted stories to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So yeah, guys, we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna get into our topic of the day, which, you know, we wanted to be able to talk to you guys about your mission statement of the Modern Waiter, which is that you want to show the world that serving is a legitimate career. And that kind of led us to the idea of all discussing career serving as well, because we haven't touched on that on the podcast over here yet. So what I would love to hear real quick, what First of all, it makes me laugh where you're like, I don't work Mondays. And then I love it. Do your managers accept the excuse that you podcast? You're like, sorry, we podcast.
No, I never really tell any of my jobs what my life is.
Yeah.
Because
smart.
They don't really care.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why bother? I just really want to provide a service to them to where they don't care if I'm not there for 3-4 days a week. They know that I'm going to show up. I'm going to knock it out the park. And at least this is one guy they don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you need to do. And good on you. Like, that's how I feel. And you just separate your work life and your personal life is a good way to go, I think, well, too.
Right there, they're already spitting advice. This is the kind of content you can come to find on The Modern Waiter. Truly. I mean, there's just some very sage advice because you both have done it for, you know, have you been doing it even longer than Andrea and I? I was about 15 years full into waitressing, bartending, and barista.
Oof, I got to talk to you about the barista.
Yeah.
I'm 25 years, but wow. Admittedly, some of that wasn't continuous because I started my own company. I've always been into other things. Mm-hmm. And I had to go into other things because as a pure server only, it is such a high wire, tightrope act that you never know any day you come in if you're going to be fired or if you're going to quit. One customer complaint can just sink you or whatever, you know. And it's right. Really, you really ride that razor's edge. So to take that stress off, mm-hmm. having something else, other interests, other ways of just occupying your mind, it really helps you to be more focused at, you know, at your restaurant. And more relaxed, where you're not saying, oh, it's rent week.
Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say not only job security, but just strictly money security, right? Yeah. You might, you know, that's to me was always what was like, what am I going to make? Like you think at the end of the day, it all kind of like evens out in the wash, but it's a constant anxiety you have.
It is.
What about for you, Danny? How long have you been in the service?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so for a good minute. I've been at the same job for almost 14 now.
Wow.
So so on my end, when it comes to Mondays and all those other days, I definitely pull the seniority card.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like the same as Marla. I've always had other stuff going on, whether it be music or
right.
or both entertainment or just like something going on. I've always had other things going on. It was never my end all be all. And it just kind of evolved into being something that was at the point. Even when I graduated school, I was making more money in a restaurant than kids that were graduating, and they were going to take at least 5 to 10 years to get to the level of money I was already making.
Exactly. That's a lot of what I think we're going to dive into as we expand on the topic. But, you know, I think probably both of you, too, is like, as you just age in general, as we've all learned as we get yeah. older, your attitudes about the job are not going to be the same as when you were 23, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely.
And it's either that the restaurant industry has broken you, you know, or you have just said, I'm just going to do like Marlon, you know, suggests is like doing enough on the side so that this isn't your whole panicked sort of focus. Mm-hmm. And when it is the art of like even becoming a great performer is when you stop giving a fuck because you know what you're doing. It flows.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I think that's because you've become an expert at it. You know
well,
what
yeah.
I mean?
You've put in your 1,000 hours.
Yep. 10,000.
10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. And your 10,000.
Fun fact, I had a guest at my old job literally told me that you just don't give a fuck, do you? And I said, no, I don't.
And they meant it. They meant it as a compliment.
No, she meant it as a compliment because she was really being difficult. And I just kept on writing. I said, okay. And she was giving me this complicated, convoluted order. And I just kept going, okay, all right. And she's like, you just don't give a fuck. Yeah, I don't.
You're right. Do you want your chips and salsa? No.
See, but this is sort of like that the mind, you know, when you become the Jedi, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you are in control of the table. First of all, it's harder to fuck with, like, I, from the perspective of being younger, is like, I might throw my age and seniority around and feel like I know more than my 23-year-old waiter. But when we are, you know, for me, myself, I'm 42. And at some point I'm like, yeah, you're not about to tell me what I do or don't know. I've been on around the block a few times at this point. I feel pretty confident in who I am. I know my rights. I'm pretty good at this. And there is such a change. For me, going back to the service industry a year ago, I was really scared to do it. But then I was just like, girl, you got this. Like, the job, it comes back really easily. What you have gained in the last 8 years since you've done it is, like, extraordinary confidence in your personhood and just knowing how to occupy space and be cool with things and also multitask and handle problems, because I had to learn to do it in other career sectors. And it was amazing to even bring other jobs back to the service industry and feel like I could do even better than I used to.
Absolutely. There's elements in is, and as you get older or more experienced, you just gain more elements. Mm-hmm. And as a career server, you amass so many elements that you've seen this little, it's like the Matrix. I've seen you coming before, or, you know, I know this situation. And there's some parts where you're not in control, but
not.
You pretend.
you have to go with it. You go limp, you know?
Yes, I call it playing dead. You just play dead. Like.
I see it as, like, you know, like, the restaurant is in total chaos and weeds, and you as a career server are the one just, like, moving in slow motion.
Is me all day. That's Marlon all day too. Yeah. Marlon glides. He doesn't even walk through the restaurant. People are like, I have coworkers that I work with that worked with him before, and they're like, I miss Marlon. He would just guide through the restaurant and like he was skating. And I'd be like, yeah, that's my boy.
So the one advice I would give to anyone in the restaurant business, whether you've been in it or for a long time, is see the experience through your guests' eyes, literally, right? And the reason why I would never run around in a restaurant is because as a guest, they're sitting down,
yeah.
They're watching you.
Absolutely.
And they're not just looking at you while you're at their table. They're watching you while you're doing other things. And if you appear frantic, they then associate that you don't know what you're doing, or you're overwhelmed, or you know, you can't handle it, all these things. And even if I am weeded and I'm still walking around, they may be frustrated, but they think I know what I'm doing.
Which you do, though, even if you are in the weeds.
Well, the whole point is like, what you're doing is you're not allowing them any leverage.
Yes.
Which, again, Jedi mastery right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Control, never let them see a sweat. Yeah.
And would you say, too, like, because I know that you guys are both, you both bring a lot of positivity to your podcast. Like, obviously, you talk about all of the relatable fuckery, but you both are extraordinarily positive guys. Do you feel like you are that person, you know, when you come to work, like you brighten up your other coworkers, or does that help? Because I was never positive. I used to show up for my job, and now I'm thinking that may have helped.
At the very least, I don't want to contribute to the negativity.
Okay.
So even if I'm neutral, I know I'm not contributing to the negativity. So when someone's in a complaining mode, I never really even battle that, because they're just expressing themselves sometimes. So I will just either slightly listen and walk away, and it gives them no more power, or I'll just perhaps turn it around. But I'm not that annoying person to be like, cheer up, buttercup, it'll be all right.
I just think that's what you say to someone when they've really fucked up and you're being funny to them.
Go ahead.
On my end, I said I'm a pretty positive person. I try to just, like, overall bring, like, that positive energy to the job. And I always find that we have better shifts, or people tell me they have better shifts when I'm working. So I'm okay with it.
I'm sorry. I was calling that, you know, just from... You know, it's also the energies you guys bring to the podcast as well. But yeah, you can just tell you're the fun guy. You're the fun guy at work. Yeah, I'm the one that everyone's like, what kind of mood's Brooke going to be in? And I'll be like, well, it depends what kind of mood the sous chef is in who wants me dead. Because I was scared of some of our kitchen staff for a few months. Work was such a fucking monster. Danny, this specifically is a question I have. Because you said you've been at the same job for 14 years, I'm curious, how have you seen like service jobs, even yours? Has it changed and evolved?
Oh, actually, it's de-evolved. The quality the quality of people since when I met Marlon and we met at that same job that I'm at right now, the quality of serving, I tell people, I go, man, this place ran like a machine. It runs like a machine, and I couldn't understand how we work with one manager. Like, I came from like a more of a corporate kind of setting, and it was because my job when I first came there was, it was where good servers became great servers and okay servers became good servers, because you had to ride into that system. And now I just kind of feel like people just complain and just aren't keeping up with their, they feel entitled. I feel like this next generation of servers are more feeling like they should be entitled to stuff that they're not entitled to. And it kind of brings them down as servers. And I don't want to say it in a bad way, because there are plenty of great servers out there.
Of course.
But you also have to relate to as well.
Well, it's not wrong to say that there are generational differences.
Yeah.
I mean, there just are. I mean, our generation has a, I don't know, is it called a work ethic? Anyways.
He said it. I didn't. No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's just, you know, when you grow up as a kid and everybody tells you're special all the time, then, you know, yeah, you there's know, something to that.
When you're getting ribbons for sixth place, you know, it just kind of.
There's something to it. And if you want to throw into the mix, I truly believe that now there are so many restaurants, more restaurants than there were when I first started.
Absolutely.
The talent pool has been so diluted.
Yes.
And there can be a thought process of restaurant managers and owners that, oh, since there are a lot of people looking for a job or can do this job, so to speak, oh, you know, don't worry about it. We can replace you. Where you can, but you're not replacing it for equal value.
Right.
Yes. And so, whereas Danny said before, we did have strong servers, but you can't have an entire place full of strong servers. You got to have some chiefs as well as some Indians.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So then the chiefs are going to look some other places to get some chiefdom going on.
Totally.
And, you know, and I think that sometimes some of the management changed over the years, the systems mm-hmm. changed over the years, and people moved on, and that contributes to the denigration of it all. We have to build it back up to a point where we're valuing people, we're valuing our guests, because if you value your guests, you're going to value your staff as well.
Right. I agree. Do you think that because of this new generation, and just talking about it too, that like something like being a career service is dwindling? Do you think this is like a job that will like dissolve, that people don't want to put that stock to like live a life in hospitality, you know? Because there's also so much, there's ways you can get so much higher within the service industry, like becoming a sommelier, become working for a wine vendor, that like all start with being in the service industry to absolutely. Ascend higher.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, is this going to be an ever evolving thing? I know dining has changed across the board in a good and bad way, but it does bring to mind, like, is this something that's going to fade away as it being a career server?
I have concerns about that. Without a doubt, I see it changing. And I myself work at a pretty not fully old fashioned place. We have white tablecloths and things like that. I can't tell you the last time I went to a place that had tablecloths, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And and so as being a career server, you really have to, as a career server, you have to constantly level up not only your skills, but your income level. Mm-hmm. And that most likely is going to involve moving on or moving up or moving to somewhere else where you can have a better experience. Because to me, being a career server, an experience is worth something, like having good coworkers and appreciative ownership, that matters. In those places, are there less and less? I'm concerned about that.
Yeah. There's a really great site I found called Southern Foodways, and they did a whole project specifically interviewing career servers in New Orleans. I'll send it to you guys. You can actually like hear them talk. And they run the gamut of age. They run the gamut of like gender, of race, because New Orleans itself is sets a specific standard for service that has never really changed, you know, and it's really beautiful to see like an older woman in the Marigny who didn't stop working the service industry and bartending until she was in her 70s. You know, the Marigny and Frenchman, that side across from the quarter, was known to attract older people. Mm-hmm. So she says in her interview that like people coming in and seeing her with gray hair, they flocked to her because they assumed she knew what she was doing. You know, it's pretty awesome. And I think it really speaks to like a Southern culture to like respect your elders. Like at the same time, you know, I think it also has to do you live in a big city? Do you not live in a big city? You know, like what's the standard of dining and hospitality where you're coming from geographically? There's so many moving parts. I'm geeking out. This is an episode of The Modern Waiter now. Like,
yeah, it's it is a lot of moving parts. But then even if you work in a place that, you know, the price point isn't that high, hopefully your cost of living isn't that high either.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, I would say right up there with the with how much you're making is how easy it is to navigate your position. You know, if you have people breathing down your neck or they're really oppressive, that is not worth it. That's like taking chips off of your soul, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, if we could talk about kind of the pros and cons of being a career server, cons being it's very physical work. You're moving all the time. There's less benefits. You might not have pay time off for insurance. You work in a hazardous work environment. Like point being, like slipping on a super wet floor with no mat under you, risk for injury on the job. It's a hostile environment. There's harassment involved, and it's.
I think that's a pro though. That's a pro.
especially this past year. You know?
Yeah, and it does seem less stable, especially when you're working in a you know, being at a restaurant like again for like 14 years to see the staff turnover around you. Yeah. You know, it is a lot. So there is that for the cons, but the pros, obviously, flexible schedule. Hello,
absolutely.
Great earning potential, low to no overhead cost as a server, a relaxed work environment, and then free and cheap food. As much chips and salsa as you can eat, depending on where you work.
Chips and salsa, you can eat.
You can go for it. Well, yeah, I was looking up some articles just for different perspectives around people who do this, you know, as what they want to do as their career. And I think, you know, they start more so with the attitude of like, I'm really interested in hospitality as a whole, which I think is just a great attitude to have in general, especially when you start thinking like that. You know, a lot of articles are quoted as saying the restaurant industry is, you know, not only a great place for entrepreneurs, but that it has limitless opportunities for moving up if that's your goal. And you know, I think people think an entrepreneur means that you're just already born into stock options from your rich daddy. But entrepreneurial spirit is anyone who sees something that doesn't exist and a way to capitalize and, you know, make a great living career or experience for somebody. And there is so much of that. And we were saying that, you know, if the United States, especially after a year like this, we can get unified across the board and start to get restaurant work unionized. The model that Andrea and I have talked about in Las Vegas is they're unionized, the whole state, every worker, even if you don't belong to the union, all of these classes and extended like adult learning you can take. If you start as a busser, you can take classes in your off time to figure out how to be, you know, the floor captain and get there and then move up. And maybe one day you will own the restaurant because you're that valuable, you know. But there's so much, if you want to be interested in it and you've got a good setup, like you really can go far with this.
You can, and there's an element to what we do that people mark under social, you know, social, it ups your social, I don't know.
Your social IQ. Cachet. Really? Yeah, oh, social IQ, absolutely.
You're able to talk to anyone.
Right.
I have friends who are in just other worlds of career, and they're fascinated that I can talk to anyone about anything at any time. I could go up to this person and just start talking to them, and they apparently it's a skill.
It is a skill. It is 100% a skill. I have a friend who lives in Chicago. He's worked at the Ralph Lauren restaurant for 15 years. He's a career server. It is a high profile restaurant. Like, celebrities come in. Like, Beyonce requests him as a server when, like, you know, things like that. Like, he's also an incredible artist and super personable and very smart. And it's like, there's a reason why he fell into this job, to be able to talk to anybody, to relate to anybody, to make people feel safe. Like, this is why I love career serving, because yes, people come for the food, but they come for the hospitality. You are the face that they want to see. They want to go through you through everything. And that's why I think it's such an important and amazing skill set to have.
Do you guys have guests who ask for you?
Oh yeah. Like regulars?
Nice. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Mom still has regulars at my job. They come in back from all the time too.
I love that.
Yeah, they come find me. It's all about a connection, you know, and it really endears you to the job, because sometimes in the back of my head, when they say, oh, I'll see you, you know, next week, or see, we have seasonal people here, and they'll say, I'll see you next year. And in my mind, I'm like, will you?
You don't give a fuck. Like,
you know, and so it really endears you, because they do look forward to sharing that time with you, and they ask you about your life and things like that. And that's very powerful. It's very honoring, actually.
I agree. Well, I get all feels.
Yeah. And I think overall, it's just the only thing really keeping more people from, you know, going as far as they can, is just the general attitude in America about being a server. It is just considered so less than, like, people's parents aren't proud of them that they do this. And you're like, really? I make more money than both you and mom. Exactly. You know?
It's a stupid stigma. It is just because we live in a very classist society.
Right.
And all the bullshit associated with it. We haven't gotten to this topic yet, but we are going to. But, like, let's move over to Europe, where, like, being a career server is a very well-respected position to have. And it can be a very lucrative career. And it's just like, yeah, of course, that's what you do. Great. It pisses all of us off to hear that, you know, people don't think that what we do is as equal as what they do.
Well, watch everyone come running over to our career sector the minute, you know, that there is guaranteed healthcare benefits, paid time off, you know, sick leave, all of that stuff, basically all the benefits you have with 9-to-5s, which, you know, there's a lot of push and movement toward, you know, tipped workers and service industry having, you know, even the minimum wage and being tipped on top of that, you know, however we want to. I mean, I know we don't have to get into the topic of the minimum wage just yet, especially since it's a little spicy when it comes to the service industry. But, you know, just this idea that it's looked down upon because people think, you know, that you just run around and fetch things for folks. And then that's why you're like, yeah, everyone needs to work one day in this industry. You'll gain respect real fast when you find yourself falling off the end of a dock with a tray filled with entrees.
I truly believe one good thing that comes out of the newer generation of people, there is a renaissance happening of people who are choosing to be in the restaurant. And Danny could speak to this a little bit as well. You're seeing people value time more, and you're seeing them leveraging the money that they make and having a nice stock portfolio. So they'll be able to make some money, put it into the stock market. I have bussers at my job, that several, anywhere from owners, bussers, fellow coworkers, who are all talking stocks, who are talking about, you know, investing and doing this and doing that. So they're doing the best of both worlds, where you don't have this traditional job. Sure, mom and dad may not say, oh, here's my son who's a busser.
Yeah.
But when you want to go to Cabo, you can certainly have the time off, mm-hmm. and you certainly have the money. But I notice a little renaissance. Danny, what do you
think? I agree with you 100%. Yeah. A lot more people are definitely jumping into their portfolios at a younger age, and they're learning about things. And I think a lot of it had to do with COVID, just sitting at home and just seeing this whole Bitcoin boom and everything else, you know, that's going on in the world, that you had nothing else to do. So you kind of got stuck, you know, and you were like, well, my friend is doing this. And, you know, people got their stimulus money, and they were able to say, hey, I have a little bit extra money. Let's invest and see what we can do with it. And it really brought this generation forward with that.
That's wonderful. I mean, if you just look at Bitcoin Busboy on Twitter, I think he's doing great. That was a joke. you guys.
I'm like, what is that? Where? Show me this.
But I also am like, I mean, if I would have been 22 years old and someone said the word like portfolio to me, I would be like,
huh?
What are you talking about?
It's more that, like, you know, I think sometimes, and I might be wrong breaking a little bit of this down, and I'm sure I'll hear about it, but I think millennials, which we are at the very tail end, I'm like last year of Gen Z, maybe a millennial, something like that, but they've been sold a real
Gen X, sorry.
I said I was 42. They've been sold a bit of a lie, where you've seen, you know, the big complaint that they're like, yeah, we went to these fancy schools because you told us to come out into the job market, and there's
no jobs. Yeah.
Right. And so, but you might be seeing more of Gen Z, like, hey, you know, because they've been classified more as the generation that wants experience, not things. And to have a flexible, cool job, career serving, yeah, like we were taught as, you know, in our generation, like, you're never going to own a home if you do this job, which is, first of all, not true. I have plenty of friends who are both heads of the household, wait tables for a living, work in restaurants, and own great homes, because it just depends where you live.
Yeah. But you're looking at two people who own their own home right now.
Yeah, I mean... This is so inspiring, you know, but it's so right. I think it's just an attitude of, unfortunately, Andrea and I both come from more transient cities, where you're in New York because you're, you know, being crazy and trying to pursue something else. Yeah. So the restaurant job feels like it's getting in the way of your good time a lot of the times. But I've looked back with so much more appreciation and reflecting on the fact that it was actually the restaurant job that allowed me to stay in the big cities where I wanted to dream big. Right.
Absolutely.
And then boom, the big, you know, the big entertainment dream goes bye-bye. And guess who can still get a restaurant job? Me. You know,
right.
And it's a gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be able to like carve your own path, right? Like that's what it's about.
Is like, for me too, is just like, well, I can live anywhere that I want to because I know how to wait tables.
Yeah.
The people who are like, I could never move, this is where my job is. And you're like, wow, that must be so fucking shitty to be you.
Oh. Oh my God. Well, wrapping up, you guys, okay. I think we've learned so much from you today. I want to say, talking about the modern waiter, your guys' little blurb about Danny, was it you who washed your apron in the dishwasher and put it in the oven to dry? Was that you?
No, we both washed our aprons in the dishwasher, but Marlon puts them in the oven to dry.
Got it. Okay, so Marlon, this is me going down a weird like gaining information hole. Like, so the other day I was doing research on, wait for it, kangaroo pouches for some reason. I was like, what are kangaroo pouches all about? So come to find out, there's the one that relates most to the server apron is that the pouch itself secretes enzymes that are antimicrobial to keep it a sterile zone. And I was like, if we could only transfer that to server apron somehow, just get those kangaroo enzymes happening, so it's the cleanest area possible. Because we all know what a dirty black hole aprons can become.
Yes, we do. Oh, and by the way, our producer and sound engineer, Brian, sent a really great tweet he just found. I've been following this guy on Twitter. It's Dan Price.
But he just quoted something saying, if people were really paid by how hard they work, restaurant workers would be millionaires and CEOs would be middle class. And that's a quote from a CEO who used to work in a restaurant.
I'll take it. We're going to be a millionaire
all day.
Awesome. Do you guys have any parting advice or thoughts before we wrap up?
Wear a condom and wash your stuff.
Stay away from those crabs.
Get onto your new modern waiter t-shirt swag. That quote will be right on there. You guys, I am so happy to have partnered with you guys on One Star Network. I'm so happy to have finally met you. I just think we're just keep putting the word out there and all
absolutely
have to keep,
keep
having fun. Not giving a fuck, but obviously giving a fuck entirely.
Right.
Zero fucks given, but just a little bit.
Or like I say, like give the right fucks.
Right.
You
yeah
know? Give the fuck smarter, not harder.
A little bit of both. No.
I'm just kidding. But yes, this is Andrea and I's official endorsement. This is what you do on podcasts. We say to you, our listeners, we love them and you also will love them. So do the thing. Go follow the Modern Waiter podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, make us all look good. Come on over. They've got tons of episodes for you guys to binge. So you will be busy, busy, busy catching up with Danny and Marlon. But
so good. I'm sorry to stop. I know we're still recording. It's hailing in Southern California right now.
What is going on?
And here's the funny thing. Not in my neighborhood, Andrea. So.
Full circle episode. Full circle episode. Well, shit. Here we go.
Go shield your car.
The fact that she even has a window in her closet, I'm kind of excited about, actually.
I don't. I swear to God, that's just like in the distance.
Don't well, Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Yes, I do.
Are you going pot?
I know. It's Cali, baby. Like you know what we say. We say Godspeed.
And good tips. Things good have gone health off the rails.
They officially have gone off the rails. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.